We read from the Word of God as we find it in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We begin to read at verse 21. Luke 2, verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And now our text is verses 25 through 32, so pay special attention here. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she came in that instant, and she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So far we read from God's word. As I announced, our text is found in Luke 2, verses 25 through 32, which gives the first part of the history of Simeon. Article 67 of the Church Order calls us to observe Christmas. We don't do that because the Bible commands us to do so, but rather we do so in order to sanctify a day that is being recognized all about us. And our fathers saw the wisdom of using a worship service on that day on which the birth of Christ is commemorated to be one of the best ways to sanctify it. But given the commercialism of all those about us and in the world and of the world in which we live, it's not just on that day, the 25th of December, that the struggle and the battle, the spiritual battle to sanctify the day and season must begin. And so there has been a custom in the church to have a series in the month of December. And it's fitting because everywhere around us, we're surrounded by a wrong presentation, an incorrect presentation of what it means that God was incarnate. Simeon helps us to understand what the birth of Jesus is all about. As adults, we might know that. And we might speak of it to our children and must speak of it to them. But we must constantly remind them and ourselves that we not be caught up, but that we recognize the reality of what took place in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless us then tonight so that these words of Simeon play a role in helping us to come again to the right understanding and to maintain that right understanding of what it means, what is meant when Jesus enters into the likeness of our flesh. Christmas, in the words of Simeon. Simeon is a man who appears on the scene of Scripture almost at the time of his death. We're told nothing about him. We don't know his tribe. We know that of Anna, but not of Simeon. It can be guessed, but that's all. But he's a man who spent his life, even though now he is very old, waiting for what he calls or is called the consolation of Israel, the comfort of the Old Testament church. He possesses the characteristics of a true spiritual son of Israel. So when he's anticipating the consolation of Israel, he does that by living as a devout son of Israel. And he has the characteristics of what it means to be a true child of Abraham. He is devout. He is just, and according to verse 25, he is filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was upon him. But he's waiting. And now again, not just now for the first time, but for a long period of time. He didn't have the idea, well, I can sow my wild oats and I can spend all my life living the way I want, and then when it gets to being old, then I'll straighten out, and then I'll have the right idea. No, throughout his whole life, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And when you do that, there's an anxiousness. We know that because when he does open his mouth, he speaks about departing in peace. It's almost as if he doesn't have peace. Yes, he has true spiritual peace. We may believe that. But his restlessness is there because he's anxious. He's been longing. He's been wanting it. And what made that intensified for this aged saint is because he's a saint living in the midst of a world, a church world for him, that was characterized by following rules and regulations and rituals and doing everything as he thought they were supposed to, but all of it was seeking an external righteousness. So in the midst of trying to make oneself good enough to be saved, and in the midst of fulfilling all sorts of ritualisms, that's what was characterized by the life of the temple at that time. Simeon nevertheless went to that temple because that was the best place, and where he and Anna, like him, could focus their attention on that which they knew needed their attention. He's devout. The word devout literally means to be cautious, careful. And that's an interesting way to look at godliness. To be devout and careful as one lives his everyday life, devout and careful, cautious and careful about living it with the awareness of God's eye. Now, you can live before God's eye and you're rather scared because he's watching and checking up on me. But you can also live before God's eye as a servant who is very sensitive to what the master would want you to do. Cautious and careful about how can I serve my master? And I'm wanting to not wait to be told by him what to do, but I am wanting to anticipate what he wants me to do. When we went camping years ago and had all our children, then we always had a pop-up camper, and that would require a lot of work. There's a lot of steps that you have to go through. And my word to the older children always was, anticipate. Don't wait for me to tell you what to do. Anticipate. What's got to be next? Think. Simeon lived in spiritual anticipation, not just of the return of the coming, the first coming of the promised Messiah. You don't just focus on that. He lived as a servant of the Lord throughout his whole life. So his focus wasn't just on the coming, but on serving that master who he knew was coming throughout every day of his life. That's devout, cautious and careful about serving. What does he want me to do? How does he want me to respond? How does he want me to respond to him in this conflict when all I see is this person or that event? How does he want me to respond when it's this disease or that affliction or this cross? How does he want me to respond? How can I live in the conscious service of my King? Now remember, too, that he identifies himself as a servant. Now let thy servant, and literally, slave. Devout. Eye up. What's he want me to do? How can I serve him? What's next? And just. as one who is looking for the consolation of Israel. He's anticipating the comfort of God's people. Then he wasn't focused on, I've got to do enough to be good enough. I have to do works in order to be saved or to receive God's approval. No, waiting for the consolation of Israel, he lived in the awareness that the righteousness, just means righteous, that the righteousness that he needed was his already. That he could never do it good enough. But he was just by faith. Remember Habakkuk? The just live by the faith. Faith told him, I can't. It's all grace. I don't have to put on appearances. I don't have to win and gain approval. I am just. Because God has declared that to be mine in the Messiah that he's promised. So the justice, the righteousness of a Simeon was that he attached his faith to the righteousness that God said would be provided in the Lamb to come. But he's eager for it. He wants to see the fulfillment of those promises. He's anxious. He's antsy. By the Spirit who was with him, he was brought to the temple on that particular day that Joseph and Mary, the young mother, brought Jesus to the temple. This is 40 days after his birth. There was 8 days, there was one whole week when every male child would remain uncircumcised so that the parents would see what they gave that child. What that child was by nature. What the face of that of the birth, the face of one's birth was. So every male child was uncircumcised for one whole week. Constant reminder, this is what we gave our child, the right to hell. And then on the 8th day, circumcision. But on the 40th day, that's when Joseph and Mary traveled the little distance that they had to from Bethlehem, and they were there when they were in the area of Bethlehem yet approximately a year or so later when the wise men came. No longer in the manger, no longer in the cattle stall, but apparently found a place where they could reside, a house, because the star stopped over the house where the child was. Now they're there in Bethlehem, so they travel the short distance to Jerusalem. Two ceremonial laws had to be fulfilled. The first was every woman that brought forth a man-child had to be purified. If it was a little girl, it was 80 days after the birth. If it was a man-child, a boy, then it was 40 days, Leviticus 12, verses 2 through 4. And this sacrifice would mark her purification so that then she could again come to the temple and present sacrifices. But second law that was fulfilled on the 40th day was the redemption of a firstborn male. Verse 23, a reference to Exodus 13, 2, 12, and 15. but also spoken of in Numbers 18. When God delivered the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, then the 10th plague was the death of every firstborn male, human and animal. When God provided a way to spare the firstborn males of the Israelites, that was at the expense, at the cost of a lamb whose blood was shed and then sprinkled on the doorposts of that house. And the angel of death saw that there was already death there. And so would pass over. But God made it known that though he spared the life of the firstborn males by providing the lamb, those firstborn males belonged to him and were called into his service from then on. And every firstborn male was to belong to the service of God, the ceremonial service of God. Now, when Moses had spent the first 40 days on Mount Sinai and he came down, and the children of Israel were giving themselves in drunken dancing in worship of the golden calf, some repented, but some did not. And that's when Moses said, "Who is on the Lord's side?" And then those of his tribe came forward, the 13th tribe, the tribe of Levi. And he commissioned them to go out throughout the camp and to treat those who were continuing to sin as they ought to be treated, with death. But in that event, there was a transition. There was a transition. And so in Numbers 18, God makes it clear that now all the males from 20 years old and upward of the tribe of Levi are taken in the place of the firstborn males of the other 12 tribes. And there's an exact numbering. And because the number of the firstborn males of the 12 tribes exceeded by a little bit all the males of the tribe of Levi, then they had to bring other sacrifices for that remaining portion. But they were replaced. But just so that every Israelite would remember that that firstborn child, that firstborn male, the pride of the family, the pride of a marriage, belonged to God, on the 40th day they would have to go through this redemption ceremony. So Joseph and young Mary are bringing their firstborn male, 40 days old, to redeem him. Simeon is led by the Spirit. Women are not allowed in the temple, so this took place in the outer courtyard of the temple in Jerusalem. Simeon, by the Spirit which led him, undoubtedly by the Spirit, identified this child belonging to this couple as the consolation of Israel. Boldly, he took this 40-day-old child, a month and a half old, out of the arms of this young mother. Now remember, girls, it is likely that Mary was 15 years old, 16. That was the normal age of marriage. There she is, carrying her child. And all of a sudden, this old, old man comes and he takes her month and a half old child out of her arms. And looking at that child, and then looking up, he says, "Now let thy servant depart in peace. Thou art releasing." The word depart literally means release. Thou art releasing thy slave according to thy word and in peace. Simeon recognized himself to be that slave, a servant, but a slave in that real sense, that kind of a servant, not somebody, you can hire me and I'll do your work for a while, but then I'll come home and I'm on my own, I'm my own boss. No, he recognized himself to be a slave. I am owned by, I am not my own anytime. I am completely his. And he recognized Jehovah as being his master. And he acknowledges Jehovah to be his master and the master of his life and the one to whom he must give service, obedient service throughout his whole life. But now he recognizes and confesses, now I am released from serving here on this earth and in this temple, this earthly setting, in order to be able to serve thee without inconsistencies anymore, perfectly in glory. And now he can say, now my anxiousness is finished. I don't have to be anxious anymore. I don't have to keep looking anymore. I don't have to keep watching and waiting. My waiting is realized. The hope of Israel is right here. Literally, when he took that child into his arms and he said, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation," he was saying, in beholding this infant, mine eyes have seen thy saving thing. In beholding this infant, I see, these eyes behold thy saving thing. What's Christmas all about, children? Now you're in church, so you know what answer to give. But when you're looking at presents, and you're looking at magazines and newspapers, then do you think Christmas is about Jesus? Simeon teaches you kids and all of us that Christmas is about God's saving. Simeon, by the grace of God, saw this month and a half old infant, and there was nothing to distinguish him from any other month and a half old infant. But the Spirit and faith which takes hold of things which are not seen with the physical eye, saw something. He saw this child in the terms that he saw his whole life. His life was in terms of God, sin, need for salvation and forgiveness and righteousness. Because he saw himself in terms of God, sin, judgment. And therefore the need of saving. In the Christ child, Simeon saw what God had promised in his word. The seed of the woman shall crush the head of the serpent. Simeon saw salvation because he was battling, always battling sin. He knew that Satan was his opponent, that Satan hated him. There was enmity. He experienced that daily. And in this battle, he saw this child as God fulfillment of the promise to destroy the serpent and the power of sin in his life. Sure, Simeon was waiting for the anticipation of the fulfillment of the Messiah. But while he was doing that inconsistently. He was doing that just like all of us. He would close his eyes at night and say, Lord, I didn't do it as much as I should have. I failed. I forgot. I was busy with other things. Forgive me. He was doing the battling. And he saw that enemy opposing him from within and Satan from without. And he was experiencing the same kind of battle we do. And when you do that for years and years and years, and you get to be as aged as he is, then you're weary of the battling. Release me. Now I can be released. I have seen the head of Satan crushed. Now, What faith? The faith of all of the saints of the Old Testament. As they looked ahead, they didn't see Simeon. Simeon says these words for all of the saints of 4,000 years as they anticipated the coming. Now Simeon sees, but he sees it in a little tiny baby. But his faith sees God in flesh. And God in flesh is the way sin is destroyed. And Satan is crushed. Simeon further identifies this little infant as the one who will do that saving thing, which saving thing is prepared before the face of all people. Prepared, he says. That's the language of 31. What he means with that language is that this is according to God's plan. Lord, thou hast determined from before the foundations of the world, and nothing happens. And even what I'm seeing right now is not all of a sudden something that God is doing, but something that God had planned and promised. According to that promise, Simeon and all the saints of the old dispensation knew that God had prepared it from before the foundation of the world. So that John, as he's inspired to write in Revelation 13, could say, this is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And that lets us know, as we stand here and sit here today, that our Lord Jesus Christ is not something that God determined to send because man failed to keep the first plan of God and now he had to fix it. And he fixed it with Jesus. He didn't anticipate that man would fall into sin and Jesus is an afterthought. No. God prepared this saving thing. Everything is happening as God determined. Not only the birth, but then Peter on the day of Pentecost, filled with the same Spirit, can say, him whom you with wicked hands have crucified and slain, God determined would die. No surprises to the master that I serve.
and that you, sir, no surprises in the course of our life, so that now, tie it in with this morning, we know that he sits enthroned on high in might to reign. And everything is working. And we may know, as we see the events take place, he is Lord over all to the church.
Simeon sees not only is this saving thing in the child prepared from before the foundations of the world, but secondly, he sees this as that which is prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. For all nations, that's what the word Gentiles literally is. Nations, all nations. The prepared salvation is not, as everyone was saying around Simeon, it's for the seed of Abraham, you've got to be a Jew. No, there are no ethnic barriers. There's not just one racial group. And it's not, absolutely not, just for the Dutch. For all people. It's not the seed of Abraham only. The redeemed are those that are gathered out of every nation, from the farthest reaches of the world. And the wise men who would come within a year's time were the first fruits of just that. Simeon saw it. I have no doubt that even the youngest child here who has any kind of discernment, even if they're not paying any attention right now, they could answer the question right. What's Christmas all about? They could answer it. They would know. But the question that I struggle with you, is not whether we can say the right answer at the right time, but whether we are living in the knowledge of the consolation, the salvation, and living in anticipation, even anxious anticipation, of the day when that Lord, that Master, that we willingly, though strugglingly, serve, will come. What Simeon did, he couldn't restrain himself. When he saw that saving thing in the arms of that young girl, that young mother, then we read, he took him up in his arms. He embraced. His faith became an active faith where he took hold. And he looked into that face of that child like I've seen mothers do with their little babies when they're just born. They look in that face. Or for as long as they're feeding them and nursing them, they look at that face of that child. That's the way Simeon looked at that child. But now with faith, seeing not just the face of my or our gift from God, but rather seeing, this is God's salvation. This is the forgiveness of every single one of my sins. And this is the way that I'm going to be righteous in this child. We look at
At the birth of a Savior, we don't know whether it was December 25. In all likelihood, it was not. We know it wasn't December 25. But what are we commemorating? What do we want to commemorate? What do we want to have as the thought of our home and of our own lives? We want to embrace the salvation of our souls. We also want to have a concern that we don't just keep this for me. Anna told everybody who was looking for the redemption of Israel. She couldn't keep it to herself. And I believe Simeon had to do the same. And that's what the shepherds did. And that's why we took a collection for the evangelism. This is not just for us. This is for all people. And I hope that that's why you will share me next month, so that I can go away to the Philippines. For all people. That's the attitude. That's the spirit that we must have. Now we rely on the Spirit, but we support the preaching and the teaching of the true truth that Jesus is the Messiah. But we also, thirdly, constantly must look at ourselves. And it's not just in anticipation of the Savior, but it's living a life that's devout and just. That we never forget to identify ourselves. Why must we live our marriages the way we do? Why? How must I live in my marriage? How must I live with those who agree with me? How must I live with those who disagree with me? The answer is always the same. I am not my own. I'm a slave. I am a willing slave. I delight not to be my own. And if I am called to give and give and give and give and give and give and give, as I've been given, then so may I give myself, my all, to my mate, to my children, to my parents, to the other members of the body. I'm not my own. And that's the way that I serve. I serve. But that service is also this. I am not earning anything by what I'm doing. You have to slay that thought. Haven't I given enough? Shouldn't I now be my turn to get a little? You ever think that? He gave it all. And he did it all for you. Faith says, he saved us. I am righteous in him. All of my righteousness, not most, and then I'll add a little. All of my righteousness is found in him. Devout and just. And then, when we embrace that truth by faith, then you may know that you rest in the everlasting arms. And those arms embrace you. All is well with my soul. Amen. Our Father, we thank thee for this word. Though always communicated by a human instrument in weakness, may the power of thy Spirit take this word and embed it within our understanding. And may our faith take a hold of the truth of what thou hast done and art doing for us, thy adopted children. Thanks be to thee, gracious, marvelous God. In the name of the Savior we pray. Amen.